Hey, happy Saturday morning to you wherever you are out there. I just came right out there with hey. I mean, I hope I didn't scare anybody.
Happy Saturday morning.
Happy Saturday morning.
We like you.
This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Guckenberger.
Happy day.
Hope you're having a good Saturday. Hope I didn't startle you with that loud hey, but I was excited to get rolling.
I know. I'm excited too. It's you know, like kind of middle of November. So we're almost to Thanksgiving. Do you have a favorite Thanksgiving dish, a favorite, you know, recipe you'd like to share with us?
I don't know if it's my favorite Thanksgiving dish, but the one that always brings out, like, those homey memories is we would have wild rice with oysters in it.
Really?
Yes, every Thanksgiving.
Did you grow
Thanksgiving.
Up in New
England? Nope. West Virginia.
I know.
Clendon in West Virginia, baby. And we would always have wild rice with oysters, and it was good.
Delicious.
Christine does not like it.
So it doesn't happen.
Well, it happens like if my mom's around or whatever, but she doesn't like the oyster stuffing thing.
Okay.
So.
Well, very, very interesting.
So there you go.
I was not expecting that.
You were expecting mashed potatoes or something.
Sweet potato.
I don't like sweet potatoes at all.
How can you not like a sweet potato?
I don't like sweet potato
pie. Do you like potatoes?
I love potatoes.
Do you like sweet?
Not a big sweet guy. I'm more of a salty guy, so that might have something to do with it.
Just stick a little salt.
Plus, I can't get over the color.
Oh, that's that is the best part.
No, so sweet potatoes are not in my repertoire,
which
is fine because everybody else likes them and they can have more.
Well, I'm very excited about Thanksgiving. I'm going to Mexico, making myself 15 turkeys for my little community. 25 pounders. I mean, big old turkeys.
Yikes.
We have,
That's a lot of oven space.
It's a lot.
Where do you find oven space?
We actually have like a spreadsheet, like a spreadsheet that we put like turkey one is at this house and it's burned this time at this temperature. Halfway through, this is what it was.
It's quite the event.
It's Thanksgiving. It feels to me, I mean, it's fun to do it in another country because, you know, they're not doing it at all. So everything.
Right. I was going to say, I think we've talked about that Thanksgiving is an American holiday.
It is.
And so you've been in Mexico for 16 years, and so you've introduced them to this idea.
They wouldn't miss it for the world. They're already starting to ask about it.
Are they?
Uh-huh.
All right.
And today I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is home of my favorite NASCAR buddies. So that's fairly fun for me. We're going to do an event this evening in the Charlotte area. So if you are listening and you are anywhere in the Charlotte, North Carolina community, come out this evening and see us. Information will be on the website where we'll be at a local church there. But we're going to be doing a back-to-back event, inviting people into the Orphan Story. So,
well, there you go. Are your NASCAR buddies going to be there?
Yeah, some of them are.
Who? How come you withhold this information from me? I'm like, you're telling people, I'm the last, it's like I'm just another person. It's not like we host a show together or do anything. It's like, oh, I didn't even know.
I do. Yes, I do. I went there to the heart of their little land because this is, of course, in the season. And they're busy all the time. So we're going to be in Charlotte. So
well,
I'm kind of
that'll
excited.
Be fun.
I know. I think did I tell you this? I don't remember. The last time I was in Charlotte, I was running from one plane to another as fast as I could. And one of my shoes fell off because I was running in flip-flops. And behind me, some guy yelled, "She blew a flat," as I ran by.
You're like, yeah, I know where I am now.
I said, oh, I'm here in my car.
Now, you mentioned people could hear about it on the website. What website can they hear about this?
I'm sorry, Real Life with Beth and Rob will
it,
as well as BethGuckenberger.com, as well as Back to Back Ministries. Anywhere that you can find all things Beth, you can find out about
BackToBackMinistries.org.
Ourselves this evening.
BethGuckenberger.com,
yes.
Real Life with Beth and Rob.com.
All of those.
Any of those places, you could be inundated with information about you and Charlotte today.
Google my name, and I will tell you. today. It will all come up.
All right. Well, that is pretty exciting.
No, it is very exciting. Speaking of exciting, you recently kind of made me frustrated.
Uh-oh.
Because
I shouldn't say uh-oh. This happens on a regular basis. I just don't know all the time.
Because right before we went on the air, you used what I would consider a very, very bad word. And I just want to have an on-air discussion.
Okay, great. I love these impromptu on-air discussions. Go.
Okay, you used the word board when you were referencing something. And board, to me, there are many four-letter words I'd rather hear coming out your mouth than the word board. And I'd just like to have a little discussion about, like, What makes you bored? What makes you even think you should say you're bored? Do you agree with the statement, which I've been reading the Todd Henry book, Die Empty, and in the Todd Henry
book. Yes, great book.
He said we had him on the show a couple
months
ago.
That's right. You need to iTunes.
I'm finally catching up on it.
Yep.
He says in there that the statement, bored people are boring people, is not true. That they're just unstimulated and that they just need more things going on in their life. That it's not their fault. And I think... I almost threw the book in the trash can when I read that, because I think that's totally true. I think that when you say you're bored, that's a reflection of you.
Wow.
I'm just saying that.
You're like chastising me on the air.
Come on, fight back. Put on the gloves. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I don't know that you're wrong.
I gave you the Todd Henry. He's on your side, which I know you like.
That's right. And
it'll make you dig your heels in.
That's probably, enough said. I mean, enough said that Todd Henry and I are on the same side of this argument.
And I gave you some bonus points.
That's exactly right. I appreciate that. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, sometimes I feel like...
You have nothing to what? Think about, do?
Sometimes I don't want anything to think about or do. How's that? Is that better?
Then that shouldn't be the word bored.
What should that be?
Satisfied.
I enjoy being bored.
No,
sometimes.
No. That would be called
content.
No.
She's arguing with me.
Satisfied. That would not be bored.
There are 10,000 things going on in my life at any time, and I'm sure that's true for lots of other people.
Absolutely.
So there are times when I'm just like, I don't want to do anything constructive. I don't want to do, I don't want to read anymore. I read enough. I don't want to be thinking about, my next project or whatever. I'd like to just sit and do nothing.
Okay, well then don't call it bored, because bored has...
Okay, I'll think of another word for it.
It connotates like... Somebody needs to entertain me right now, and I think that's probably where...
Well, that's usually what happens. I'll go to a movie or I'll watch TV or something. Somebody needs to entertain me. I'm tired of... Look at your face.
I got lots to say, but we'll move right on.
I appreciate you moving this conversation to off-air.
Okay.
And I'm thinking there are probably lots of people out there like me who are like, listen, I'm just tired. I go 90 miles an hour... 100 and
okay,
however
well
many hours a week.
Call it bored. Call it rest. You're resting.
Okay, I'm resting.
Okay, speaking of
there
entertainment.
You go. I'm resting.
And speaking of fighting, let's talk about a form of entertainment that's coming up that you're so excited about that I'd like to fight a bit about.
Oh, my gosh. How did I get... What's happened today?
This new... I got some caffeine.
This was not on the list.
This new film is
coming
out.
Listen out there. Listen to people. We have a list of topics that we usually like to cover, and we agree about it. Neither of these things are on the list.
Okay, well, this...
So go ahead.
There is a movie coming out that which will divide our listeners to Team Rob and Team Beth. And I'm inviting all of you listeners...
I already know where this is going.
...to join Team
The movie's
Beth.
Already out.
I can't stand that movie. I cannot stand that crazy movie about kids killing kids. Why in the world are we allowing people to watch
that?
We've
had this discussion.
Or if we're going to make
before...
films, because I'm all about, the Bill of Rights... Make it R-rated.
So what are we talking about?
The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Let's make that R-rated so that we say adults who can process information have the right to produce their films.
However, the books were written not for adults. The books were written for kids. And
How did we let her get away with that?
As an author, how did we let that person write that? Should be some type of censorship.
And who sold those things?
So, yes, there probably is debates going on in households today. Husbands, wives, kids, parents, whatever. About can their kids go see whatever the new name of the Hunger Games thing is.
Terror film is.
Yeah.
It's a terror. A terror
All
and
right.
a terrible
well,
film.
Good luck carrying on. We want to stimulate conversations for the day. We just stimulated
you
that
You have
one.
A conversation with your friends
yes.
and say, are
there
you on
go.
Team Beth or Team Rob? If you're on Team Beth, please make t-shirts. I will be selling them on the website that says Anti-Hunger Games Team Beth.
Two great guests today. Great show. People
are
going to stick around.
So excited.
The conversation is going to be much better than what just happened here in the last five
hey,
minutes.
Hey.
Roger Huang is with us. He's written a book called Chasing God, One Man's Miraculous Journey in the Heart of the City. And it's about his ministry in San Francisco, in downtown San Francisco.
And you and I like stories.
Yes, it's all about stories. And John Ortberg wrote the foreword. I love John
He's
Ortberg.
A great guy.
So anyway, Roger Huang's going to be on the show. Allison Westerfeld is going to be with us as well. She's written a book called Packing Light.
I haven't finished it yet.
15 seconds.
It reminds me maybe of the Jim Hatmaker thing, which was wildly successful.
Yes.
Let's fight.
Two great storytellers.
Mutiny Against Excess.
Yes. All right.
Don't see the Hunger Games.
This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall. That's Beth Guckenberger. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
This past summer, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to India, where I met a little girl named Shailaja from an orphanage with back-to-back. She was a new child at the home and was having a hard time adjusting. As I began playing with her and painting her nails, I was reminded that this little girl was just like my sisters back at home in the United States. Instead of a face on a photo, she became a part of my family when I realized that I could continue to help her through Back-to-Back's child sponsorship program. Even though she lives over 8,000 miles away, through the Back-to-Back sponsorship program, I can ensure that her spiritual, physical, educational, emotional, and social needs are met. The best part about the program is when I come home from school and find a letter from Shailaja. I am so thankful for God working within both of our hearts in order to lead us closer to each other and closer to Him. Visit www.backtoback.org for more information.
Hey, welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger, who's calmed down a little bit after the break.
Just a little baby bit. Not very much so.
Wow. That was something. Mm-hmm. Hey, two great guests today, and we're just going to jump right in. Two great stories, two great storytellers. And the first that we're going to meet is Roger Huang, who's from San Francisco. He's written his debut book, Chasing God, Finding Faith. And just a great story about his work in the inner city of San Francisco. And just as a little background, Roger came to San Francisco from Taiwan in 1970, escaping an abusive home and living on the streets. And he discovered both the American dream and his French bride. That's a good story right there. That would be enough right there. But we're going to hear about his story of developing a ministry in the inner city of San Francisco and just its explosive growth there. So, Roger, thanks so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Good to be here. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Roger, I was just hoping that we could start by introducing our listeners a little bit to your ministry and really the catalyst for putting your story down on paper. Will you tell us a little bit about what you're doing in San Francisco and how that work began?
Currently, the work of the ministry, the name of the ministry is San Francisco City Impact, and we're here 7 days a week. We have elementary school, the rescue mission, medical, dental, food bank, meal delivery to the 586 buildings, and the Tenderloin district consists of 37,000 people living in 50 city blocks, and then we average about 8,000 homeless that come through the area and stay within about 5 to 10 blocks. So basically, it was about 29 years ago, I was working as an auditor in one of the new hotel right here downtown, and when I got off work, I was walking towards my car and noticed I had a flat tire, so I called for the tow truck. And it was within that 20 minutes sitting in the car, I began to notice that I was not in a very good area. And then something else happened during that time. I saw a young boy. He was standing by the high-rise building and trying to get in. And there was a group of older kids coming up, and they started harassing him. And as much as I wanted to help him, I did not. I eventually I drove away after I was being helped by the tow truck company. And just from that point to my home, 20 minutes or so, God spoke to me. He said, "What if that was your son? What would you do?" Hmm. And I said, "Well, if that was my son, I would have jumped out of my car to help him." And he said, "Well, for me, they're all the same." So when I got home, I was very emotional. My wife, of course, noticed the turmoil that was going through inside. So I shared with her. We cried and prayed. And next day, I came back to the Tenderloin in the city with 50 sandwiches. And that was 29 years ago.
Mm. And in those 29 years, things have really grown pretty rapidly into what now is City Impact Ministries. Tell us a little bit about those growing pains and sort of the people who came alongside of you and how it went from you making 50 sandwiches to what City Impact Ministries is now.
Well, I will say in 29 years, 70% of the time has been quite difficult. The other 30% has been very hard. We just never really had a good day. And, you know, when you start something, and I was new in the faith, I didn't have any contact. When I left home, I was a loner. I've always been a loner up to that point. And then, you know, I didn't have any friends. My family were cut off because my dad and my mom, they were just very, I don't know why, but we were not connected to the family on both sides. And so I just left home, got into hotel business and just worked my way up. But then called into the ministry after about a year and a half, coming to know the Lord through a TV evangelist in just about 5 minutes. And so it was just two really foreigners. My wife is from southern France, and I'm from Taipei. We both got saved through the Sandy TV evangelist, and then God called us into the inner city, and we were just not used to the chaos and all the stuff that went on. So in the beginning, we're just the two of us, and our kids, they were small then, you know, knocking on doors, no business plan, no church, no facility. That was all I wanted to do the first 10 years, just knocking on doors. And so that's kind of what we did. And I will say the ministry started growing a lot more in the last 3 years. So it's just been really difficult. I definitely would not want to start another ministry, that's for sure.
And in all those days when it was difficult or hard, what made you get up out of bed in the morning and continue to do it? I think our listeners are probably all at varying places in their own faith and in their own callings. And there are a lot of days when it feels like discouragement or doubt or, you know, and any of those things can stop us from saying yes when God's asked us to do something. What was it that continued to have you press forward?
Well, two things, thinking back. One, I came from a home that was abusive, and it's kind of the norm in the country where I came from. And it wasn't just the home, the school, the teachers, they were just as abusive. And then I didn't really think I could have gotten out of that situation. Then we ended up in America, and then left home. And then at age 27, I went home for a short break. Turned the TV on. There was a TV evangelist preaching about Jesus. So for the first time, I was crying for the right reason. I just couldn't believe the hope and the grace that God gave me, because from that day forward, I was never the same. And, of course, I was very broken. You know, I was a loner. I was insecure. You know, just didn't have any confidence. It wasn't just so much the physical, but it was also verbal abuse. And so over time, you just feel like you just can't do anything in your life. So God lifted me out of that darkness and just gave me brand new life. So I'm propelled by the grace and the love. And that's why I get up every morning and do what I do. Mm-hmm. And that's why.
Yeah. I know that you talk in the book about a particular spiritual discipline of fasting and prayer. What does that do for you? What does it mean to you? How does that fit into the larger picture of keeping you moving?
You know, we ended up in a small church somewhere nearby the city of San Francisco. And so going to church on Sunday didn't do much for me because I was working two jobs. I slept very little. And so most of the time we're just in the church sleeping, actually. I was not even a Sunday Christian. I was a Sunday 10 to 12, 12 o'clock Christian. And one day an evangelist came through, and it was a man of God. He came and he stayed in that little church and taught prayer, fasting, and spiritual warfare. And I was the one to record all the sermons, and edit them and then show the church on Sunday, just, you know, like 5 minutes or so. But in that editing process, I became convinced that God can do something if we would just zero in on that intimacy with Him through prayer, fasting. And so I started going up north, about 3-4 hours away from San Francisco. I found some places where they have little cabins, and I just stayed there and praying fast on the weekends as often as I could. And that's what drew me to God in such a way, and things begin to change. Hmm.
What would you say to a listener who has a dream to be involved in the lives of folks who are struggling in their own city and they don't really know how to take the first steps? Where would you point them for the person that has a heart but not the direction?
That's what this book is about. When we came together to put this together, we even conveyed our desire to the publisher that it would not be about accomplishment. We live in a culture where the accomplishment is highly praised. I wanted to focus on someone who's broken, someone who's stuck in a situation. But there's a living God, and He's not just with the successful people. He's with people that would just cry out to Him, and it's in the Word of God. And if they can get to that spot, that place, and begin to just cry out to Him, and it's not even that we have to fast so many days. You know, I remember when I first started, it was 1 day, and then 3 days, 7 days, 21, 33, 40 days. And, I mean, that will come in time. But if we can start with that, the passion to go after Him and then make that solid commitment, you know, 5 minutes here, 20 minutes tomorrow, whenever we can, there's no set time, but the Spirit is willing. If we can just go after that, and God will take us out of a situation that we have absolutely no control of and put us in a different path. That's what this book is about. Mm. And, you know, I'm just an immigrant. I came here, and then this country is all new to me. And then I got saved, and that was new to me. Mm-hmm. Then He put me in the inner city, and that was very uncomfortable, but I was willing. I said, God, I'm going to serve You. And that's what I've been praying, fasting for. And then when He did, didn't want to refuse, so I jumped right in. Mm.
Hey, before we go, you mentioned in your comments there this idea about pursuing God and that fasting and praying helps you do that. So just in the minute we have left, I'm assuming that has something to do with the title of the book, Chasing God. How did you land on that title? Is it kind of wrapped up in that idea?
Because that's all I had. I didn't have anyone that I could go to. I didn't have anyone that I could get help from. Mm. And working two jobs in the hotel didn't really get me anywhere. I just wanted, when I came to know the Lord, and then when I began to read the Word, and I said to myself, maybe, just maybe, that there's a different path for me.
Yeah.
So I began to chase after Him. Yeah. And that's when things begin to open up.
Roger, real quick, where can folks find the book if they're out looking for it?
They can go to sfcityimpact.com.
Great. And they can find out...
David C. Cook.
David C. Cook. And they can find out certainly about the ministry at that website as well. Roger, thanks so much for being with us. What a great, compelling story. I know it'll be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. So thanks for being with us today.
You are welcome. God bless you all.
God bless you too as well.
I always say this, but it just bears repeating, that we get to talk to the coolest people.
We do get to talk to the coolest people. You are right about that.
And this man has woke up every day for 30 years and served the inner city of San Francisco. I mean, can you just imagine what his faith muscle looks like?
And I love his honesty. It was really difficult, and then it was hard. I love that.
That is right up
your alley. Don't go anywhere. We got some more great stories coming up right after the break. Allison Vesterfeldt, Backpacking Light, is going to be with us. What a unique story this is, and you won't want to miss it. So be back after the break. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care, at 877-374-LIVE.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Abram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
Hi, I'm Fred Dreyer for Alpha Flex with Omega 5. When it comes to joint pain and inflammation, I'm an expert. I played 13 years in the National Football League. I've been hit and run over by the best of them. So when I have a flare-up, I don't want a painkiller. I want a solution. I've been taking Alpha Flex with Omega 5 for a long time now, and I'd be lost without it. It's powerful and natural, so don't settle for over-the-counter or prescription painkillers. Get Alpha Flex with Omega 5. It's the solution to pain and inflammation. Go to alphaflex.com right now and enter promo code DRYER. Order now and get free shipping and handling. And you can buy your first bottle at 50% off. That's 50% off, half the price. That's alphaflex.com. And don't forget to enter promo code DRYER, D-R-Y-E-R, for your 50% discount.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach. But more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger, on this fabulous Saturday.
The 9th of November, 2013. Every one of our days is ordained before any of them came to be. Today,
wow.
There is a story for each of us.
I don't know what's into you today. I mean, it's like, I don't know if you had extra coffee or something. You're just on it. You're just like, bam.
I'm just saying. You never know what November 9th, 2013.
The
somebody is going to get engaged today.
The folks in Charlotte.
People are having a baby today.
Yes, they are.
The folks in
Charlotte do not know what they're in for tonight.
They do not.
That's right. So I'm just giving you fair warning. In Charlotte, North Carolina, Beth is on a roll today.
I am bringing it.
All right, let's move
on. Speaking of on a roll.
On a roll, that's right. Allison Vesterfelt is going to be with us. Actually, she's with us right now. She's going to be talking about her new book, Packing Light. And what, I mean.
I think she would be my friend.
I think she might. It's a great story. We'll let her tell it, but basically, she was pursuing the American dream, get married, have a great job, all that kind of stuff, and she just decided to ditch it.
I want to hear
and travel around the United States. I mean, I won't be able to tell as well, so we'll let Allison do it.
Good morning, Allison.
Allison, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Allison, I travel all the time, not always by choice, but I'm on airplanes and in cars all the time to speak and write and to do what I do around the world with orphans, and that's one of the reasons I said, I bet we would be friends. So just tell our listeners a little bit about the premise of Packing Light and kind of that catalyst story that took you and your friends around the country.
Yeah, I'd love to. So basically what happened was I finished graduate school, and I was about 2 years out of graduate school and got my first full-time, real big kid, grown-up job, and I was so excited about it. Felt like this was the moment in my life I'd been waiting for. Everything was coming together. All of these years I'd spent working to get degrees and working odd jobs here and there to pay the bills to make ends meet, and now this was the moment when I was finally going to start my real life. And so I start this job, and I'm actually pre-approved for a home loan on a house. So I'm shopping one of my favorite neighborhoods in my hometown of Portland, Oregon, looking for a condo to buy, and going to a great church and have a great group of friends, and everything, it seems like, from the outside should be coming together, but on the inside I'm feeling a little bit just weird or off or restless, or the sense that something's not right, something's missing. And so I'm having a conversation with my friend. We're sitting at a wedding, actually, at a wedding reception, and she says to me, Allie, what would you do with your life if you could just do whatever you wanted, if you didn't have to worry about bills or what your parents were going to say or what your friends were going to think or any of these things? And I said, it was like all of a sudden this idea or this dream that I'd had for my whole life came back to me in that moment when she asked me that question. And I said, I would quit my job and I would go on a road trip. I've always wanted to visit all 50 states and write a book about it. And it was like in that moment I had this realization that my whole life I had been striving to build this life that I thought I was supposed to have, the house, the car, the job, all these things, none of which were bad things. But there was this thing that I really wanted, this dream that I felt like God had planted deep in my heart that I had been ignoring for all this time. And now here I am in my mid-20s feeling like this is the moment when my life is supposed to come together, and it feels like there's this huge disconnect. So during this time, I reread the story, the parable of the rich young ruler from the Gospels. It was just came up in one of my morning devotions, and I had read the story 100 times before at least, and had kind of in my mind compartmentalized it. I don't know if other people do this with scripture, but sometimes you read the same scripture over and over again, the same stories that you think you know what it means, and so you kind of file it away in a filing cabinet in your brain like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. I already know what that means. I don't need to think about it anymore. And in my mind, the dozens of times I'd read it before, I always thought that it was a story for rich people about how rich people have a hard time getting into the kingdom of heaven because they don't understand their need for God. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really see myself as rich. I obviously am rich. I, you know, have a car and a computer and live in a house and all of those things, so I'm rich. But in comparison to my friends, I didn't see myself as rich. And so I had thought, oh, this is a story for other people. But during this season, I'm sitting at my kitchen table and I'm reading this story in the scriptures, and all of a sudden it hits me. I am the rich young ruler. And this is how I read it this time when I was looking through that passage, is this young man comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I've done all the stuff that I was supposed to do. I followed all the rules. I filled in all the blanks. I checked off all the boxes. I went to school. I got a degree. I got good grades. I made my parents happy. I paid my bills. I have great credit. Now what? What am I supposed to do? Because it feels like there's something missing. It feels like I haven't quite yet experienced the kingdom of heaven that you've talked about, that life abundance that you explain. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says to him, give it all away. Sell everything and come follow me. And in that moment, I just felt like, oh my gosh, that's me. I'm the rich young ruler. I've done all the stuff that I thought I was supposed to do, that the world said I was supposed to do. filled in all these blanks, checked off all these boxes, and now I'm standing here before Jesus going, how come it doesn't feel like you said it would? And he's going, let it all go. And I just started to think, like, could it be possible that God is actually asking me, not in a metaphorical sense, but in a literal sense, to let go of the things that I've been holding on to? To me, it felt like baggage. I felt like I was holding this baggage, and the baggage was keeping me back from doing the thing that it seemed like God was calling me to, or that he was inviting me to, or this thing that I'd always wanted to do. And so it was like in that moment, I just started to think, maybe I'm supposed to do this. Maybe I'm really supposed to quit my job, sell everything I own, move out of my apartment, and chase this dream that I have.
So I'm imagining you at this point. Was it like a wholesale, just get rid of it all? Was it like, I'll try and give this little bit away and see how it feels? Or how did you go from this is a really cool idea to I'm going to start getting rid of stuff?
Yeah, well, I had the encouragement of a friend, and it was like it had to happen in one fell swoop, or I don't think I would have done it.
Okay.
Because we don't like to think about it, but we're really very attached to our things, and not just physical things, but I was really attached to emotional things and philosophical too, these ideas that I had about how life was supposed to look. Like, to me, in my mind, one of the reasons I was so excited about getting a full-time job was because I thought that was what grown-ups had. Grown-ups had full-time jobs where they got in their cars and drove out of their garages and drove to work from 9 to 5 every day and came home. And that was like the sign to me of what it meant to be a grown-up. And so it felt very fulfilling in a way for me to get this full-time job. And then I realized that that rhythm of life it didn't really work for me. It didn't do for me what I thought it would. It didn't make me feel as grown up as I thought that it would. And so I had to give up. I had to let go of that idea of that being the symbol or the sign of a grown up life. And so I knew that in order for me to let go of these things that I was so attached to, like my physical possessions, just stupid things like my couch and my bed and my dresser, my wardrobe, and then these deeper, more philosophical or spiritual or emotional things that I was holding on to, I was going to have to do it in one fell swoop. So I had the encouragement. The same friend who had asked me the question originally, she was an aspiring musician and said, you know, I've always wanted to travel the country too. Maybe we could do this together and I could play shows along the way and we could make some money that way and sell CDs and that would help us put gas in the tank. So I thought, okay, great. There's no way I would do this by myself, so this is good. Let's do it together. And she and I both moved out of our apartments and took literally everything we owned, she owned and I owned, to my parents' house and laid it all out on their driveway one Saturday and hosted a huge sale, put an ad in the paper, you know, to come check out our stuff, and in one day sold everything that we owned, aside from what would fit in our car. Mm-hmm. And then I think she and I each left a box or two in my parents' garage of things, like sentimental things that we wanted to keep.
Yeah.
And was it kind of serendipitous, your trail, or did you have it really well mapped out, like you knew you were going to go to certain states?
It was both. We started off thinking that we could plan every stop. And so we would try to plan a few states ahead, especially with booking shows. We knew we needed to call ahead, and we were kind of got into a rhythm even before we left on the trip of calling ahead to book a show. And those shows propelled us on the path. But we also would meet people along the way who would say, hey, have you played this venue in this state? And we would say no. So they would connect us with someone. And or the other thing that would happen too is sometimes we would not have a booking anywhere, and so we wouldn't really know where to go, but we stayed with a lot of friends and family along the way, so we would be staying with someone, and we would feel bad, like we were kind of overstaying our welcome, and so we'd think, oh, we need to leave. Where do we know someone else that's close to here? So we would drive, you know, just 100 miles away or whatever to a different city that we'd wanted to see. So it was both. Some of it was planned, and some of it was completely spontaneous.
Yeah. We're talking with Allison Vesterfeld about her memoir, Packing Light, about this just kind of crazy idea that she and a friend decided to sell their stuff and travel to all 50 states. Allison, can you join us? We're coming up on a break. Can you join us after the break?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, that would be great.
Is there a state, Rob, that if you were on a road trip, you would make sure you for sure wanted to hit? Like that you haven't ever been
well,
to.
Well, I love that. I mean, I don't know about that. I just love this. I mean, let's think big. Let's go visit all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
well,
I'm going to be interested. I've got some questions for after the break that I need some answers to. Okay. So join us after the break. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Who's Weaving Your Story? The Story Weaver series by Beth Guckenberger highlights the plight of orphans throughout the world in personal, heart-grabbing stories of loss, struggle, and redemption. The kind of redemption only God, the great story weaver, can accomplish. Written for ages 8 and up, Tales of the Not Forgotten and Tales of the Defended Ones reveal God's ability to create a story far greater than we can imagine. And the corresponding 6-part leader's guides on CD help turn each book's content into a simple yet powerful 6-week curriculum for any church or small group. Use both together and you have a 12-week curriculum full of fun activities, compelling stories, biblical teaching, and practical applications. Let God weave your story and see what He can accomplish for orphans worldwide. The Story Weaver series is published by Standard Publishing and is available at www.standardpub.com or your favorite Christian bookstore.
Hey, welcome back. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger, who happens to be in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I know. Speaking of travel and places to visit,
Charlotte is a fine town. That's a good question right there. We're talking with Allison Vesterfeld about her book, Packing Light. I wonder if she was in Charlotte. Did you go? Obviously, you went to North Carolina. Where in North Carolina did you visit?
We did go to Charlotte.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could probably tell you places to eat, Beth, or something.
Did you have a favorite place that you visited along the way?
I had so many favorite places. It's so hard to choose. One of the places that I talk about in the book, though, is a place that was a favorite for mine because it was so unexpected. And it's a small, tiny little town called Deadwood, and it's in South Dakota. And I was not expecting to find anything interesting in South Dakota other than maybe trees.
Yeah, but, Beth and I are looking at each other like, South Dakota, this should be interesting.
But it's the stopping place for a huge Harley-Davidson rally called Sturgis that I didn't even know existed until we were there. But we happened to be there right when Sturgis was ending, and it was the most interesting and eclectic group of people that all finished this huge motorcycle rally in this tiny little town that's cobblestone streets, and you walk in and out of these restaurants and shops, and there's like the actual place that Wild Bill Hickok played cards and the actual place where he was killed. And it's just like it's a very quirky and interesting place. But so it was a very memorable stop for me because I was not expecting to find anything that interesting in South Dakota.
You know,
but
when you
also, we visited Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which was one of my favorite stops of the trip. And Maine was absolutely beautiful the time of year we were there.
Yeah.
And we loved Boston and New York and Austin, Texas. So many different places to love.
Yeah. Beth started the bottom of the hour by going on about how God ordains all of your days ahead of time, and it struck me when you're going to Deadwood, South Dakota, that to be there at that particular time, at the end of the Sturgis rally, it kind of hit me that God probably ordained that little moment there. Otherwise, you probably would have just blown right through Deadwood.
I know, and it's crazy. It ended up being a whole chapter in the book too, which I've thought about before. It just taught me such an interesting lesson about expectations and the expectations that we put on our life and how we never expect some of the best things that happen to us in life we don't expect. And so I just thought that was such a powerful lesson that I learned, and it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't been there at that exact time.
Now that may be, I don't know, but it may be, is that your, you know, everybody writes, you know, we talk about on the show, everybody writes books and they have like a favorite story or a favorite chapter, or is that what resonates with you the most, that story? Or is there another in the book that really is like, man, if I could only have written one chapter, this would have been the one?
I think that the later chapters in the book are maybe my favorite because they're the chapters when all the lessons that I learned on the trip all seemed kind of disconnected and discombobulated until the end. until God really started to show me how they were all woven together, and they were teaching me this bigger lesson about really engaging with my life and living awake and alive to every day. And so those when I started to learn that and see that and experience it in a really real way, it was like it woke me up to like worshiping God in a new way and experiencing life in a new way. And it's exactly the thing that I set out to find that I wasn't sure I would find, which is the thing that the rich young ruler was asking for, which is how do I experience the kingdom of heaven? How do I get to heaven? I've done all the stuff you've been missing, and that's something that was missing before for me isn't missing now. Mm. And that to me is the most powerful part of my story.
Yeah.
Well, certainly one of the things that I like, you know, on Real Life with Beth and Rob, one of the things that we hope to do is give our listeners conversations that they'll continue to have long after the show is over. And I think that your story and your lessons certainly are going to give us things to be thinking about and talking about with each other for the rest of the day. So for that, we are grateful that you could be on with us today.
Good. I'm so glad. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, Allison, before you go, I noticed that you are the managing editor of an online magazine, and I wanted to give you a chance to give a shout-out about that and tell our listeners a bit about that in addition to where they can find your book.
Yeah, it's called Prodigal Magazine, and basically the premise of the magazine is we just tell stories. So my husband and I just realized that, especially in our generation, one of the most powerful ways for us to experience the gospel is just to tell stories of how God has impacted our life. And so we've just invited our friends and now opened up to lots of other people to just a platform to allow them to share stories of how God has intersected in their life.
Very cool.
And so that's just at prodigalmagazine.com. And then you can find me and my book at packinglightbook.com. That's the easiest place to find it. There's a link there to my website, and you can also purchase my book there as well.
Packinglightbook.com.
Packinglightbook.com.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yep.
Allison, thanks so much for being with us. An inspiring story, entertaining, all the things that we love about storytelling and we love to have on the show. And so we're glad you could be on with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
All right. Yeah, blessings to you. I always love hearing stories of the things that I'd love to do, but I'm just way too chicken.
Come on. I was just thinking that. I think, who is listening to this and thinking, I would never want to do that? Like, nobody. Everybody thinks that'd be so cool.
How cool would that be?
The rest of your life, you have stories about places like Deadwood, South Dakota.
That's exactly right.
When you hear on someone talking about Austin, Texas, you'd be like, I was there once.
Yeah. So old folks like me who, you know, have a mortgage and things like that,
job,
you know, I'll just quit my job.
It's
a little scary.
Saturday.
It's a little scary, you know, probably a little scary for anybody. But it's interesting as well that, and then we'll got some other things I'd like to talk to you about. But this idea of a quarter life crisis, that's the second guest here in the last couple months who's had this idea of quarter life crisis.
So is it the chicken or the egg? Which comes first? Is it that they know it's coming up and so that they, you know, they're anticipating it and they're using it as an opportunity or / excuse to do something crazy? Or is it genuinely a real emotional phenomenon which we have had to name?
Well, I think it's I think it's a real thing, because I think you hear a lot about this generation about not being satisfied with the kinds of things that were satisfying to boomers and Xers and things. That has a lot to do with pursuing a good job and settling in and having a family, and people get to be 25 or 23 or whatever it is. They get done with school and they're like, I've been pursuing this thing, and I'm not sure it is what I want it to be. And so I think it is.
They want a story.
They want a story. Yeah, it's something bigger than just, hey, let's settle in.
Would you rather have a story or a healthy bank account? Just be honest, and then we'll tell everybody your age.
Well, the way I've lived my life, I have many more stories than dollars, so I guess that's the answer to that question. I would much rather have a lot of great stories, and I've had a lot of great stories, but I'd have to confess a lot of them have been driven by the fact that I had some dollars to spend. You know, but she did the same. She sold her stuff so she had dollars to spend. I just resisted buying stuff so that I could have some dollars to spend.
I was just recently in a conversation with a man who owns his own business, and he's thinking about selling it because he's thinking about doing something along the lines of what I do. And he asked me, how do you live without a lot of resources? And I said, well, I think that you just have resources to exchange them for experiences. And
right.
I have experiences that have not cost me a lot of dollars. They've cost me in other areas, but not as many dollars. So, you know, I said, I got better experiences that were cheaper than you can buy.
Yeah. And I'd say this, our listeners probably like, what the? Listen, you can have great stories by just going around the corner.
You can have
great stories by knocking on the neighbor's door.
You might live in Deadwood, South Dakota yourself.
That's right. And you've got a good story at least once a year from Sturgis Festival anyway. But anyway, I mean, it's not really about where you go or what you do. I really think what Allison was able to do was overcome her fear, which led to a story. And that's true whether you knock on the neighbor's door, go downtown, go out to the country, go to another country. It's about overcoming whatever you're afraid of and saying, I'm going to engage in life in a different way so that out of that will come a great story.
And I really resonated with what she was saying was one of her bigger lessons about sometimes the best stories come when we least expect them. And so to kind of minimize those, you know, I'm always saying expectation is premeditated resentment, right? So like lowering those expectations and just allowing God to surprise you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you mentioned, I think it was last show, you mentioned that you're going to, or was it earlier this show? I can't remember. About going to Mexico for Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I think that was this show.
Yes, and any listeners still welcome to come. You were welcome to come.
It made me wonder, you know, a lot of our listeners, and we have lots of new listeners, may not know what you do, and they may not even know they have the opportunity to travel with back-to-back to places like Monterey. So tell us how people can figure all that stuff out, and maybe not this Thanksgiving, but maybe next Thanksgiving.
I think this is a perfect show to talk about it, as we talked about a man that moved from China to Taiwan to the United States in this packing light lady. Yes, of course. My husband and I are the co-executive directors of Back to Back Ministries, which is an international orphan care organization that has sites all around the world. So we are always traveling and always inviting people to come with us. If you want to come with us for Thanksgiving, it's not too late. We'd love for you to come spend next week.
That would be cool. That'd be a spontaneous story. Hey, listen, I'm chucking it. I'm going to Monterey for Thanksgiving.
We'd love to
next week.
Come spend, eat some of my 15 turkeys, spend some time with orphans. It'll be a really fantastic week. We have trips, frankly, every month of the year to India, to Africa, to Haiti, all over Mexico. So I'm personally leading a trip to Africa in spring. So anybody wants to come with me to Africa, that is yet another opportunity for you to overcome fear. Watch God surprise you as you take yourself across the ocean to the other side of the world. God might have a great story for you there.
And so where might they find it? I'm setting you up to give us a website. Okay. Come on.
If you would go to back2back.org, there you can find information certainly about all the opportunities in the different places that we serve. And even if you don't go there to travel, you can sponsor a child or learn more about how you can pray and give towards those needs.
Absolutely. Hey, if you like this show, and why wouldn't you?
I mean, it's nothing but fun.
Fun, good stories. If you like this show or any other show, you can find them on iTunes. You can find them at our website, reallifewithbethandrob.com. You can hook us up on our Facebook page, which is Real Life with Beth and Rob on Facebook. And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, yes, we have some giveaways. Allison's book. We're going to give away 5 books. So visit our Facebook page for that if you'd like to have her memoir about traveling around the world. So, or around the United States. So
I think it'd be a fun Christmas present. Give it away as a Christmas gift, and maybe even strategically to a friend, it would take a big risk with you.
That would be good, yeah. So we've got 5 books to give away.
I think that's
so fun. Come on, get on there and do it. So you can do all those things, iTunes, our webpage, or Facebook, and of course, as Beth said, probably most importantly, backtoback.org, and you can find out what is closest to our heart, which is orphan care.
Absolutely.
And you can find out more about how to do that. Hey, next week, Deb D'Armond is going to be on, as well as Dr. Linda Solly, couple of really interesting stories as well. So you won't want to miss that. There's always something good happening.
Always conversations.
I hope you'll be a little calmer next week. You scared me a bit this week.
You know what? Don't count on it.
Okay.
Don't count on it.
Hey, this has been Real Life with Beth and Rob. We hope to see you here next week. And until then, have a great week.
Have a great week.